1940s, golden age radio. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Turning the dial, stay for a while. Adopt our children. Podcast new sound, taking it.
Button is pushed.
Push the button. Send us back into time.
Hello and welcome to the Bennett Lewis Show.
Hello and
today we're going to be talking about Bennett Lewis.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the second golden age of radio.
Starring
Richard Templeman.
And Kelly Tolley.
Featuring Bennett starring Bennett Lewis.
Someone has come over and tried to take over the
every
show.
Time, I was explaining this the other day about, like, I was just like talking about how egocentric I am.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
just talking about how, like, When I'm meeting people at, like, a party or something, it's just, like, a blur, and at, like, the bottom of the TV screen is flashing, someone that is not me, someone that is not me. And I just hear, it's like, oh, yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so anyways, recently, I've been listening to a lot of golden radios.
Whoa.
Nice.
Yeah, made out of solid gold. And
wow.
It's something to do with the physics.
Yeah, the sound that comes
out. Did you go
out
and spend lots of money on golden radios since our last?
Yes, I did.
Solid gold radios have the best quality and
best
sound.
Yes.
It's because of their density is proportionate to their physical wavelength.
But it's
right?
really not until you get your second golden radio that you really...
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
That you
yeah,
can
yeah.
really tune it right.
Yeah.
Well, what did you... research on your own, sir.
Well, let me just look through these extensive notes. You caught me!
I did?
You caught me. It's a spring break energy checklist.
Oh, so someone didn't study up.
No,
I was feeling so underwhelming with my unprepared self, but now I'm back in the superior position.
Mother Superior.
Mother Superior over there
on the couch.
So we're going to be talking about a series called X minus 1.
Equals. This is a math?
No. It's like countdown for blastoff.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus
5.
Minus 4. Minus
3.
Minus
2.
X
minus
1. Fire.
So, X minus 1 was a half-hour science fiction radio drama broadcast from April 24th. Ooh. Anniversary coming up.
Oh.
April 24th, 1955 to January 9th, 1958 in various time slots on NBC. Listen to this.
Oh, NBC.
Mm-hmm. Dum-dum. That wasn't
so
what I wanted you to listen to. Initially, it was a revival of NBC's Dimension XXXX.
Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense.
Dimension X.
Now, the trick of that is, I would listen to X minus 1, I would listen to Dimension X, and I would say, these are the same shows, sometimes. Sometimes they're the same script, sometimes.
Are they actually the same script?
Yeah. So,
really?
What they did is they revived the 1950 to 1951 series Dimension X, and the first 15 episodes of X minus 1 were new versions of Dimension X. So...
it's like the second golden age of Dimension X.
Yes.
Wait,
X minus 1.
Did they change anything? I was just wondering if you were actually listening to it. It was exactly the same, but a different title and different voices.
Yeah, it was. Like, I would listen to it and be like, I heard this before when it was
am I going crazy?
Dimension X.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard this before when it was X minus 1.
It wasn't like they redid it with, you know, famous Judy Garland or anything like that.
Yeah, that
like
was like Suspense did. It
yeah.
was kind of like that, but different. Science fiction writers. They would adapt famous science fiction writers' scripts. So Isaac Asimov, Ray Bradbury, these are all science fiction
oh,
famous.
Ray Bradbury. I've heard of
that. Yeah. What is that? 1984? Is that
no,
Ray Bradbury?
Fahrenheit 451.
That's the one.
So he was one of the number ones.
He was one of the number ones.
Okay.
And then iRobot was Isaac Asimov.
Oh.
Was it actually?
Yeah.
We had an iRobot. Because I know that iRobot, the Will Smith movie...
Yeah, same.
Yeah, yeah.
Took it.
I, comma, robot, he wrote that book.
Okay.
And then we thought it was a clever little iMac reference. But no, It wasn't. The program opened up with announcer Fred Collins delivering the countdown leading into the following introduction. Although later shows were partnered with Galaxy Science Fiction rather than Astounding Science Fiction magazine. Fire!
From the far horizons of the unknown come tales of new dimensions in time and space.
These are stories of the future. Adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds.
The National Broadcasting Company presents
X minus one. That's what they would do. The series was canceled, though.
Oh.
After 126 broadcasts, so this was January 9th, 1958. However, in the 70s, there was a wave of nostalgia for old-time radio.
Much like today.
So, they tried to revamp it and call it the Iron Chancellor, and it was produced, but it failed to revive the series. So in 1973, NBC couldn't revive it. They also tried broadcasting just the regular old recordings that they already had, but because they did it once monthly and that was irregular, even the devoted listeners of the radio show couldn't even find it. It's like, once a month? What channel? What time?
I don't know.
It's not even weekly. Oh, okay. That would make it hard for me if I was a kid having to wait once a month to re-listen to my
favorite shows.
Because
it's not like you can just have your computer come up and tell you, hey, the new episode is available.
Yeah.
Like it tells us for Second Golden Age.
Exactly. And when I look up all the X-1 episodes, I could just listen to them all right now.
Yeah. But when you had to wait on one to show up maybe in a month and you couldn't remember the day and time.
That was whack. This series was re-released in podcast form, coincidentally enough, June 22nd, 2007. And also, a theater company called Counter Productions Theater Company, they became the first theater company to stage 3 of the episodes. So, that's clever.
Oh,
I think
interesting.
As a theater company, I would love to revamp old scripts from old-time radio and use them on the stage. They're great scripts. All right. So, here's some famous writers that wrote on the show. Phil K. Dick, he did The Defenders and Colony.
Yeah, I've read March Violets by him.
Uh-huh. Ray Bradbury and the Moon, Be Still as Bright. Oh, I think that's one I want to listen to today. Mars is Heaven, he wrote. The Veld, Dwellers in Silence, 0 Hour, To the Future, Marionettes, Inc. Or There Will Come Soft Rings. Isaac Asimov, Nightfall, Sea Shoot.
There Will Come Soft Rings.
Robert A. Heinlein, Universe, The Green Hills of Earth, Requiem, The Roads Must Roll. L, can you say that, guys?
Sprague.
De Camp. A Gun for Dinosaurs.
Oh, I want to listen
to
that one.
So,
Dinosaurs and Guns.
So which one are we listening
to? And The Moon, Be Still as Bright.
All right. I'm excited to listen to it.
We'll be right back after this short nothingness.
Tonight, the Ray Bradbury story entitled, And the Moon, Be Still as Bright.
The first 3 expeditions for Mars left Earth in a mushroom of flame, arced through the atmosphere, and finally dwindled to tiny specks in the big eye of the Mount Palomar telescope, and then were lost to sight forever. The prearranged landing signals flashed back to Earth, and then the radios went dead. One after the other, ships had disappeared and were never heard from again. But still, the rockets came. The 4th expedition emerged from the silent gulfs of space, angled down toward the floating red disk of Mars, down into an orbit as the order came to land. The last blast of the bow jets broke red against the blue desert sands, and the ship slid to a halt at the edge of a vast city that reflected the icy glare of the moonlight. For a while, all was still.
All right, Parkhill. Open the airlock.
Aye, sir.
The last they saw of him was his peaceful face in the cold, silver light of the racing twin moons. The captain found the poem in Spender's pocket, and he read it before he shut the marble door.
So we'll go no more a-roving so late into the night, though the heart be still as loving and the moon be still as bright. Though the night was made for loving, and the day returns too soon, yet we'll go no more a-roving by the light of the moon.
X-1 was directed by Daniel Sutter and is an NBC Radio Network production.
And we're back.
X-1.
That happened. So what did we think?
What did we think?
That was a wild ride. Was it a euphemism for Americans coming and taking America from the Native Americans?
I think it was very explicitly that.
Yeah.
What's your take about colonialism in general?
Yeah. Like making new worlds, but like...
Like thinking like you can conquer this free stuff, but it's never free stuff.
Yeah, and they accidentally killed the Martians, and I think some of them were like, good, that saved us some time.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank goodness we didn't want to have to do all that work.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's destroy their buildings instead of making a museum, you know, or whatever.
Or like whatever, yeah.
And then one guy was like, ooh, in my heart, I'm actually a Martian.
Was he in his heart a Martian?
That's what it seemed like.
I think in his heart he decided to be adopted into the culture because he read their books.
Because he's a read. So, much like, yeah, that's like very Shakespearean.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Whatever. Or not.
No, it was just really upsetting. It was upsetting because...
I kept expecting the Martians to be tricking them and...
And that they were alive.
Well,
but, yeah.
I think
but
it was less of... It was less of, like, last week, which was, like, a plot twist and more of just, like, an actual intellectual...
Yeah.
It was very intellectual. It was Ray Bradbury, right?
Bradbury.
The story was.
Yeah.
Let me reference my notes.
So
the story unfolded where they were... a third or fourth expedition to Mars, and they didn't really know if the other expeditions made it or not, or survived. But then they realized that the Martians were killed by chickenpox, and that they were alive very recently, so they're like, well, I guess Earth people gave them chickenpox. Oops.
Sorry, not sorry.
Then one guy was like, you guys are idiots for hating on this race. Stop being so racist.
Yeah, they were very racist.
They were very racist.
They're like, ooh, go Earthlings.
Yeah, Earthlings, let's kill all the Martians, even though they're already dead.
You gotta be team people, though.
Team humanoid?
Like, team human. No, yeah, well, just team humans, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Earth people?
You would be on the human side were there to be a conflict of resources.
I would say so, but...
In real life, you're right, we would... It's easy to side with the Martians in this one.
Because they're dead.
Yeah.
But in real life, that happened.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
If we had destroyed
Earth. I feel bad. Like, but as a human, I would side with the humans. No, I'm not saying like as a, therefore like as a white person, I side with white people because that's.
Different.
That's an unfair distinction.
Because humans include all of the human race.
So I am being racist, but people who are...
You're being alienist.
I'm being xenophobic.
Yeah. Yes. You really are. I'm thinking, like, if J.J. Abrams were directing this, it would be a little bit more different.
And if Michael Bay directed
it. Yeah, it would be even
more different.
There would just be so many explosions.
I also think... I like the intellectual. It did remind me of Twilight Zone and Star Trek in the way that it was very intellectual.
Yeah, the production value was also...
It was high.
It wasn't cheesy. No, it wasn't.
No.
Just some gangsters in space.
Classic drunkard in space.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Classic guy who just came to space to turn up.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, stop drinking those beer cans.
Stop drinking the beer cans.
Get out of here.
What are you doing with those government-issued beer cans? Yeah. Hey, why don't we celebrate?
Woo! We won't celebrate.
You wanted to celebrate everything.
Yeah.
How is his stomach, like, okay with, like, drinking in space?
I don't know.
It's gotta be bad.
It's gotta be bad for him.
Because he was having trouble running because, but apparently being drunk in space is not a problem.
So I guess we just need to do our own version of X-1111.
You modernize that.
It has to be like it has to be futuristic for us. So this was futuristic, but guess what? Mars doesn't have atmosphere. It doesn't even have current like alien life forms on it that we know of at all.
This medium isn't good for the facial expression that I'm giving Richard, but
you're like, there is life on Mars.
It's a very skeptical face that you're giving him.
Mars.
There is life on Mars.
I just
100% there is life on Mars.
I was just saying there wasn't, like, actual Martians running around that I know
that
of.
That you know of.
Yeah, there's probably...
But when you get there and find out that they're all different chickenpox...
And you can breathe.
Aren't you going to feel bad?
And you can read their language. Oh, their language is actually easy to figure out.
It's a simple form of juggling. Three balls means yes. Two in the hand is a no.
Their books are all just pictures of them juggling.
In different positions. Yeah. They communicate by passing the balls in between them.
It's wonderful. It's a genius way of thinking, and I think I want to be a part of them and not you. Because, at heart, I am a Martian.
You're a juggler.
I'm a juggling Martian.
You're a Martian.
I'm a Martian.
Martian.
All right. Martian. So we'll see what comes up. We'll just have to do it. We'll have to start. We'll be right back with our exciting episode of
X-1.
The year 2017. Experiments in Geneva with the Large Hadron Collider open a wormhole to another dimension. And it has sent a team of top scientists and space marines to explore the universe therein. In this episode of X-1.
Captain.
Yes.
We've lowered the shields and we're ready to go down onto the planet.
Good.
I think we should have a group of us go down together and some of us stay on the ship. That would be safer.
I agree. We haven't heard back from the first ship we sent in.
Yes, we wanted to plan a search and rescue just in case they were alive.
Form a squadron and we'll land on the planet.
Our top scientist is Dr. Piper.
Dr. Piper, yes.
Dr. Piper, come in, Dr. Piper.
Yes, I'm here.
Dr. Piper, we're going to...
Land on the planet and search for the fallen spacecraft.
With the search and rescue team. Are you in?
I'm in, go ahead.
All right.
Now, preliminary scans have shown that this seems to be an Earth-like planet, very rocky, and with...
Breathable air.
And large structures on it. This could be incredibly dangerous. However, we've seen no sign of advanced aircraft or anti-aircraft weapons, so we're going to go ahead and land.
All right.
Keep that in mind. Let me just look at my notes.
We'll bring our weapons, but we will have a strict no-shooting policy unless you say so, Captain.
Correct.
I will bring my guns.
Perfect.
Thank you, Piper. I hope that doesn't come into play later. They land on the planet, searching around. It is completely desolate. A city mirroring Earth with no inhabitants.
Dr. Piper, everything around here looks like what we would have on Earth, but just slightly different.
Yes, it's like we're in a different galaxy.
Or another dimension.
But we found our twin planet.
Yeah.
Everything's the same.
Except for no people.
Underground and seen all of the people. They're dead.
What?
They're dead. We killed them with the measles.
With our... The earlier...
Everyone was supposed to be vaccinated before we left. Did they do it?
I think they didn't.
Oh no, we've killed them all.
We can't tell the captain. I'm too scared to tell him.
We're gonna have to tell him.
Dr. Piper? Mum's the word. Don't tell the captain about the measles outbreak.
All right. Your secret is safe with me.
Call in the crew.
Crew in. Yes, Captain?
What have you found?
Nothing.
Nothing? Still no inhabitants of this city?
No. No living inhabitants of this planet.
This is very queer. Report back to the base and we'll talk about it.
All right. Dr. Piper, please keep this between us.
I don't know. Again.
I just think all of our friends on Earth are going to get in trouble for this.
Okay, for now.
All right, you go back up there on the spaceship. I'll join you later.
Okay.
Just want to explore the city.
Explore the city.
That's what I said.
Okay.
Dr. Piper, what did your preliminary research find?
Everything is safe.
Everything's safe. You have no inhabitants still.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
We need to put this into the official report so I can report back to CERN.
They're all dead.
They're dead?
Everyone's dead.
From what?
Measles.
Measles?
We brought the measles to them and we killed them all.
That was me, guys. I'm sorry.
It was you?
I have measles. I didn't think that was a big deal. I thought you guys were vaccinated.
I was vaccinated.
So I thought we were. I didn't know that there was a civilization. Let's just say the other guys did it. Are we all cool with that? You cool with that, Dr. Trevor? I mean, this is a big deal. Like, I don't want to go down to history as killing the civilization.
I don't know. There's nothing to gain from telling a lie. How will we ever learn anything from that?
Paging the captain. Captain?
Yes.
This is Stryker.
Stryker?
Yes. I've been on the planet just researching on my own. I've figured out all their linguistics and their communications and...
Well, you are a linguistic genius. Say that three times in a row.
Linguistic genius.
Exactly. I couldn't do it. That's because you're
Linguistic genius. I'm on the planet and I don't want to go home. I don't want to go back to Earth. I want to settle down here. I need to find a wife and we're going to stay here. And I feel responsible for their death. I do.
You're not responsible. I'm responsible.
What?
I wasn't vaccinated against measles.
You know that's the number one thing we're supposed to be vaccinated for is measles.
My parents were anti-vaxxers.
Well, that came into play in 2017 on this mission.
Yeah.
Now we know that they were wrong.
Yes, they were very wrong.
Well, I'm going to stay down here, and I feel like killing you.
Well, you can't kill me because I killed the doctor first.
Oh! You killed Dr. Piper?
She was going to tell CERN that I gave the civilization measles.
Oh, she's too honest. I told her to keep it between us.
Where are you, Stryker? I'm coming to your location.
I don't know. The library. Don't.
You shouldn't have told me because now I'm going to come and shoot at you.
No! Captain, I have a shield on, so... Your firing is
not
working.
Why don't you come outside and we can talk?
Oh, you just want us to talk?
Yes.
Well, let me read you a poem I found in the library here that best describes how I feel at this very moment.
Go ahead.
You're all ears?
I'm all ears.
'Tis a wonderful planet that we live on. We are the inhabitants here. If anyone should destroy our lovely nation, then they will all drink beer and will be remembered for all of their downfalls because they are the worst of them all. That's like us. We're like the worst of them all.
Can I read you a poem?
Yes.
There once was a Martian from Nantucket. And,
Captain! This is no time for jokes.
I'm sorry. You're right. I ruined that really touching moment. Can you repeat your poem?
No.
Okay. Well,
it was a one-time poem.
Look, I'll put my gun down.
Good.
Now we can talk. Look, this is what happens. Civilizations rise and civilizations fall. And if there are an infinite amount of universes, which is what this proves, it is irrelevant. This happened in this one, but it's not going to happen in an infinite amount of ones. We are the winners.
You say irrelevant, I say
irrelevant.
And I say irreparable damage.
Yes, there is irreparable damage.
Yes.
But how do you think we got to where we are? We're the winners.
Well, now I realize that being a winner isn't what it's cracked up to be.
They would do the same to us. We just did it first.
We wouldn't know because we killed them.
I killed them. And now...
No!
Don't move. Put the gun down, Stryker.
No, I will strike you
Stryker.
With her guns.
Stryker.
With Dr. Piper's gun. It's coming back into play, Captain.
Stryker, damn you and your clever use of technology. Stryker.
Now no one will know about our mission and this planet. But too late, because they're all already dead.
Thank you for joining us for another enlightening episode of X-1. Join in next week when we have an episode written by J.J. Abrams. That'll be a really good one. Until next week, they're all dead. For now.
Thank you for joining the Bennett Lewis Radio Show.
No.
No.
But I thought that was good.
Bennett.
We were discussing that it was different, but it was different good. It still had a message, and I think it was a more poignant,
morality message. Bennett, thank you for joining us and trying to take over our podcast and destroy us all so that
much
you can
like,
take
much,
over.
No, because...
Because
much like how they took over the Martians podcast.
Yes.
Those Martians had a very successful podcast, and the Earthlings took it over.
Yeah.
With disease.
With their diseases.
Diseases.
Yeah. This is the kind of world we're living in. Alright, stay tuned for next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.